I'm Ken Zonley, and this is Performing Arts Gallery. A new exhibit featuring the work of a variety of local and regional artists will open tonight at the West Central Illinois Arts Center. The reception is from 6:30 until 8 this evening. It's the exhibit Contemporary Narratives. Artists will share their stories through their art using any medium save photography. The photographers will have their own show a little bit later this summer. The exhibition Contemporary Narratives will be on display until June 16th at the West Central Illinois Arts Center. It's on the downtown square in Macomb, 25 East Side Square to be specific. You can visit the West Central Illinois Arts Center online as well at www.wciarts.org. Tomorrow at historic Bishop Hill, there is a Swedish folk art workshop taking place featuring Donna Benson, who's been painting and teaching traditional style Nordic folk art for over 30 years. The program is at the Steeple Building in Bishop Hill, starting at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. The cost is $20 per person. For the workshop, to register, call 309-375-6844. Traditional Swedish folk arts at Bishop Hill. Tomorrow night at the beautiful Orpheum Theater in downtown Galesburg, the Knox Galesburg Symphony presents its annual Mother's Day tribute, It's Celebrate Mom at the Pumps. The concert, narrated by Radio Air personality Terry Cavanaugh, will feature the best of the Broadway melodies from previous Knox Galesburg Symphony Pops concerts. It includes selections from Phantom of the Opera, Fiddler on the Roof, South Pacific, The Sound of Music, The King and I, and other Broadway show tune favorites. Terry Cavanaugh's comments, she'll be interspersing them between each of the selections, will highlight interesting historical commentary aimed at reminding all of the wonder and genius of this glorious art form, the musical comedy. Cavanaugh is a past recipient of the National Association of Broadcasters Marconi Award for Small Market Personality. The Knox Galesburg Symphony's Celebrate Mom at the Pops concert is tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Orpheum Theater. Tickets start as low as $8 and are available at the Orpheum Theater office at 250 East Main Street in Galesburg or at the door. Children and students are half price. Well, the end of the academic year here at Western Illinois University is always a good time to reflect back on the wonderful season of events the Bureau of Cultural Affairs has brought to the area, and a good time to think about the great events they have planned for next season. We'll be talking about some of those events next week. But this week, with the close of the year, it's also a good time to look back at the history of major arts events here. With that in mind, it seemed to me an appropriate time to rebroadcast this interview from this past summer about a recent book on this very topic. At this point of the program, I get to welcome back an old friend of the firm, and in fact, a former host of this very program, Bill Bratton, former Associate Vice President for Student Services at Western Illinois University. He's written a new book about his years of producing arts programs here at WIU. It's entitled Entertainment in the Heartland, Some Humorous Memories and Random Thoughts. Bill, many years of arts presentations here at Western Illinois University, and still to this day, often not in the most accommodating of circumstances.
Ken, you certainly have that right. As we state in the front of the book, when we finally got the vinyl curtains to kind of box in the stage in Western Hall, former Dean Forrest Sicott at the College of Fine Arts nicknamed that the Vinyl Center for the Performing Arts. And so we had kind of a joke, and when a performing arts coordinator would leave, we would name them Director Emeritus of the Vinyl Center for the Performing Arts, and there are a few of those certificates hanging in their offices, I think, to this day. We just tried to make it happen as best we could, and hopefully this Performing Arts Center may come along. I know Dr. Gofar gave it all he had during his tenure here, and we can just hope it comes down the road for us. Make a great difference.
Well, it certainly can be a difference then over the years, listening to maybe the Budapest Orchestra playing underneath very loud air handling fans, or I remember sitting in Western Hall with the Jim Cullum Jazz Band and William Warfield, and after the first number, Jim looked around holding his cornet and said, "Oh, this is the spiffiest gymnasium we've ever played."
Well, we got a lot of this. Bob Hope walked on stage one time and looked at the three doors into what we now call the East Arena. Back then, it was called the Smokearium. Bob cracked, "Nice garage you have here," you know. So people would normally adjust to it. The pop attractions and the rock and rollers were used to it. But when you had theatrical groups come in, they had some real difficulty understanding how it was going to happen. Although as we begin to do them, we would have road managers that had been here before, so they kind of knew what to expect. And symphonies, if we could keep the air handling equipment quiet, actually, if you had a full symphony or large chamber, it did not do bad there. Now, was it the Great Hall and the Krannert Center? Obviously not. But, you know, it worked better than some other things. And small attractions, we finally just gave up on solo attractions. During my tenure, we did not have the Kofak Recital Hall. We had to have those attractions in the Grand Ballroom or the Heritage Room, and that's been a lovely facility, much nicer than anything we had to do attractions that we at that time called Series Elite.
You had to deal with some of these issues early, right off the bat. I think that the first entry for Western in your book is about the great violinist Isaac Stern, all alone with a piano in the midst of a Western hall with no sort of backdrop at all.
It was just a mismatch, and we became a little alarmed whether the show would go on, but Isaac did do it. He was a good trooper. We did not have air conditioning at that time either, and he said it was one of the hardest barbecue pits that he'd ever played in, but he did not take off his jacket. As he left and everything was kind of put aside, as I may mention in there, he said, "Bill, you have a nice group of people here in a beautiful university campus, but do not invite me back until you have a decent performance hall to do it in." And that was understandable, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've certainly had the chance to deal with a wide range of performers and legends and characters along the way. And sometimes the contracts could be challenging, especially finding what's buried in the fine print.
That's right. One of the interesting things, the last time we did Bob Hope, we did Bob on a Saturday night in the round, and then were foolish enough to turn Western Hall around and do Van Halen on Sunday night.
Wow.
With more electronic lights pointing towards the stage, I think, than I'd had ever seen in my life up until that point. And one of Van Halen's requirements in the rider was that you had to take, I believe it was a tan M&Ms out of the M&Ms that were in his dressing room. It was just one of those bizarre requirements, but we talked it over. We didn't think this was a terribly expensive one to do. So the students thought, well, we can pick the M&Ms out if it means getting Eddie Van Halen to perform here. And so the show went on.
Well, to your credit, I'd heard them talk about this recently, members of Van Halen. And they said that the reason it was in the contract was not because they didn't necessarily like those M&Ms. It was actually intended as a test for each producing organization. And they knew if that was followed, they had a pretty good sense that everything else in the setup was safe and according to contract. So it looks like you passed with flying colors.
Rock and roll was interesting at that time, and we did a lot of it.
One or two that jump out at you any clearer than the others?
Well, one would be not at Western, but we had booked an outdoor concert at Indiana University in the old stadium featuring the Jefferson Airplane, the Byrds, and B.B. King. And it was at the end of the week of Kent State. So it was a very, very tense time on the university campus. It was the Sunday before final examinations. The Airplane were appearing in the Twin Cities, and Marty Ballin got arrested on some kind of drug-related charge. I'm not exactly sure what it was, but anyway, we tried our best to get him out on bail, and the judge would not do it. And then the Airplane decided that they weren't going to perform. A person that works for the Jacobs School of Music, or did, Al White, who was producing the show, and I were up almost all night, and we finally got them to commit to performing. And people really don't realize what the climate was on the university campus at that time. The day before the concert, we had 8,500 students march through the campus protesting the Vietnam War. We had probably 200-300 riot-trained Indiana State Police hidden in one of the local motels. So it was a very, very tense time. Kent State had closed. Ohio State had closed. But the show went on, and in retrospect, probably one of the best things that we could have done, because it was the Sunday. The next day was reading day. The students headed into final examinations. And by the time they returned in the fall, things had calmed down. And it was a great show. The other thing I would just mention, we had a blues concert in Western Hall with B.B. King, Muddy Waters, Willie Dixon, and the Chicago All-Stars, and Buka White, who supposedly taught B.B. to play guitar. Well, that wasn't the problem. The problem was Willie was on stage, and blues artists are usually pretty laid back. But there was a poker game going on in Western Hall, and Muddy was winning, so he didn't want the game to stop. And B.B. was losing, so he didn't want the game to stop. And so finally, the performing arts coordinator and I went back and just says, "Fellas, you know, Willie's been on probably half an hour beyond contracted time. You're going to have to wrap the poker game up." I don't know, Ken, how it came out, but these are some of the types of things we wanted to do in the book, rather than me try to gauge which group was better, but to tell some of these humorous stories that happened along the way.
Well, it's a fantastic read, especially if you're familiar with the area and can remember back some of these great performances over the years, and then to hear some of the backstage stories about it. Entertainment in the Heartland, some humorous memories and random thoughts. Bill Bratton, my predecessor as well, thank you so much for coming in.
Well, appreciate all the good work you do, and keep that great classical music playing. We love it.
Thank you kindly. I'm Ken Zonley. Join me again for Performing Arts Gallery.